Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information, check out our website at freechapel.org.
Your Bibles, I'd like for you to open them with me, please, to the book of Matthew. I want to go to the book of Matthew, and I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And I want to read this astonishing story in Matthew chapter 8, beginning with verse 7. And I want to teach you a principle, a Bible principle today that can cause blessing to flow into your life, that can cause the favor of God to overshadow your life, that can cause you to have His joy and His help in your life and in your home and in your family. And I want you to see it with me now. Verse 7 says, and Jesus said to him, well, let's just back up to verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and pleaded with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He said to those who followed, Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And Jesus said, verse 13, to the centurion, go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done unto you. And the servant was healed the same hour. I want you to notice that phrase in verse 9, I am a man set under authority. And then he points out something pretty powerful. And I have, listen to this. He said, I'm a man set under authority and I have soldiers under me. And so today I want to talk to you about being set under the authority and what it means and how it applies to everyday life, because it is a Bible principle. I see it all the time. If people don't recognize, respect, and submit to authority, they do not do well in life. Young people may have incredible talent and ability, but if they don't learn to submit to authority, they will not prosper long. They will not do well long haul. It is a principle that if you keep violating it, it will come back and it will take from you more than you can imagine. The Bible is a book about authority issues. One third of the angels followed Lucifer in a rebellion against God because Satan, Lucifer, refused to submit to the authority of God. He said, I will ascend above the throne of God. I will be like the Most High God. I will set up my own church. We're going to have a church split in heaven, and I'm going to have my own congregation in the sides of the north. He refused to come up under the authority of God Almighty, and he was cast out, and one third of the angels that went with him were cast out. And the whole story of the Bible begins with the refusal to submit to authority. Adam and Eve were in authority, under authority, and they came out from under that authority when they disobeyed the word of God. The children of Israel were on the verge of closing the biggest real estate deal in the history of mankind. God said, the land is yours, all you got to do is possess it. Moses said, let's go. But the people murmured, the people would not submit to the authority of Moses and God. And as a result, they missed the promised land, and a whole generation had to die out before their children would be able to enter into the promised land. But that generation never made it. It's interesting that the word authority comes from the word author. And God is the author of authority. He's the author of authority in the home. The husband is the authority over the wife. The parents are the authority over the children. The pastor is the authority over the church. The president or kings, leaders are authority over the nation. And the Bible lets us know that God is the author of authority. Romans 13, verses 1 and verse 2. Romans 13, verse 1 and verse 2. And maybe they can throw this up. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist it will bring judgment on themselves." How many of you believe this is a serious Bible principle? I mean, that's just plain as it can be. Isaiah 14, notice how many times, if you ever read it when you get a chance on your own, I'm not going to do it this morning, how many times Lucifer said, I will ascend, I will do this, that's the enemy of authority. And I asked them to bring me, there's a friend of mine, and please bring me the umbrella, but there's a friend of mine who wrote a fantastic book on this subject, and his name is Ed Young, and he has a brilliant illustration in his book that he gives about an umbrella, and he talks about how that being under authority is like being under an umbrella. And he talks about how we need to be umbrella fellas, and that we need to stay under the authority of God. Here's why, and the point that he makes in his book is, can you imagine on a day like today, and maybe, you know, when it's raining outside, if you saw someone walking down the street in the rain pouring, and they're doing like this. And they're getting hammered, and they're getting pelted, and they're getting poured on by the rain and the cold and the sleet and the rain and all that's hitting them because they're not under authority. Now, here's the point. The thing about authority, notice what that man said. He said, "I am a man set under authority." Listen to this. "And therefore, I have people who are under my authority." In order to get over what God has put under you, you've got to get under what God has put over you. The lesson of authority, and I just said pretty much the whole sermon right there, and if you miss that point, you're going to miss a lot. If you don't get anything outside of that, get this point. That you've got to get under what God has put over you. The authority God has put over you. You have to get under it. Because unless you get under what God has put over you, you're never going to get over what God has put under you. God has already got the people that's supposed to be under you to help you do what God's called you to do. But He will never allow that to be released into your life until you are a man or a woman set under authority. And when you get under what God has put over you, then God will put under you what you're supposed to be over. So I want you to see the power of being under a covering, under authority. God is a God of authority. And we must get under what He puts over us. Now notice that when you get under what God has put over you, number one, it's a place of protection. Instead of getting pelted with problems, instead of getting hammered by hail, instead of getting, just hit and drenched with defeat, when you are under authority, you are protected. God has a covering. He that dwells under the shadow of the Most High will dwell in the secret place. And He said the Lord will be His refuge. And the Lord will cause things that will hit other people, they won't hit you because you're under authority. It's a place of protection. It's a place of position. When I get under the authority of God's word, When I get under the authority of my boss at work, I don't have an authority issue, but you talk about your boss all the time. Oh, you don't like that? I'm going to preach the truth. You talk about your mom and your dad like they're dogs. But you don't have an authority issue. The coach tells you to do something, you cuss him behind your back. That's an authority issue. And God says, I'll never put you over what I want to be under you until you get under what I have put over you. And that boss may be a jerk, but it's the principle of it. If you don't like it, go find you another job. But if you are there, you better get under that authority, because that's the authority that God recognizes in your life. They're not perfect. You know, it talks about the government and all of that. But you know what we have to do? We have to get under the authority of the laws of our land. Like it or you don't like it. A police officer is an authority. And if we don't obey the Word of God will not work for us. It's a place of protection. It's a place of position. When I get under the authority that God has placed over me, I'm in a zone of blessing. The blessing, the favor of God is overshadowing my life. And suddenly things begin to happen because you are in the position, the zone of blessing. You are in that place that you're part of God's chain gang. You're under the chain of blessing, the chain of command. And God sees you there. That's why you guys that are in No Longer Bound, our rehab program and New Beginnings, it would be easy. Yeah, I love that. The guys must be asleep, but the girls are here and they're alive and they're well. The guys aren't doing too good. Okay, good, good. It's about time. It's a little late, but that's okay. And nobody's making any noise in Gwinnett. You're just sitting there looking at me. Make some noise, Gwinnett, if you're under authority. But here's the point. You know, you can get upset, and sooner or later they're going to get on you. You know, they have strict rules in these programs. Strict rules. Stuff you can't do. They don't play games. They don't care who you are. They don't care. They don't make exceptions. They won't let them talk to people when they come. They're tough. They're tough on them. It doesn't matter what you want. You either get under that authority and you get help, you're in the chain of command, you're in a place of blessing, and the enemy wants you to come out from under that authority so you can get pounded by hell, so you can get hammered by the enemy, so you can get drenched with defeat. But if you'll stay under authority, you're going to get help. You're going to get delivered. You're going to get set free. Say amen, somebody. It's a place of perfection. It's where your gifts are perfected. Some of you, you know, I've been in this a long time. You know, I don't argue with people and stuff, you know, anymore, especially on staff. If they don't want to submit to authority, you know, and I don't have any problems that I'm aware of here in the church with anybody. But it's amazing. I've watched it. I've had people who would come out from under the authority of the headship of a ministry that God, this one, that God put me over. They don't do well. Now you can leave, but you got to leave right. But when you leave out of rebellion and you leave out of an ugly spirit and attacking and all of that, I've never seen one of them leave and do well. I could name names and none of them have done well. But all of them that did right, God blesses them. And I'm telling you, it's an important principle. And the worst thing you can do is be in a ministry and get up under authority and badmouth the ministry, because all you're doing is stopping the chain of blessing in your own life. And you'll never get over, I need my own ministry. You're never going to get over what God wants to put under you until you get under what God has put over you. I'm a man set under authority. Watch it. And I have soldiers under my authority. And that's how God does it. So, you know, it's a place of perfection. The point that I'm making is it's where your gifts are developed. It's where God begins. A diamond is really an ugly stone until it gets under pressure. And a real leader won't let you just get by with stuff. He
hurt my feelings.
A real preacher's going to step on your toes sometimes. A real preacher's going to tell you that if you don't tithe, you're robbing God. No, I thought you were clapping. I just thought I'd throw that in there while you were clapping. Right? We can't just take the parts we like. We have to stay under authority. The authority of God's word supersedes. I like that. Look at this guy. I don't know if y'all can see him. He's got his umbrella. This guy, USA. And I don't know how to tell Gwinnett about that one. But whatever. Anybody else got your umbrella? Get your umbrella out. Any umbrella fellas here? How about you and Gwinnett? Get your umbrella out and put it up and say, God, we're under your authority. Come on. I like this. I didn't plan this. But look at the umbrellas. The only people that don't have umbrellas is the front row. That's amazing. Tells me much about you. Look around. All right, put your umbrella up. Playtime's over. That's pretty funny. Did y'all do that in Gwinnett? Did anybody get their umbrella out in Gwinnett? Or are you a bunch of deadheads down there? I'm just checking. But it's where God develops your gifts. You know, these youth pastors, they have young people all the time. They have enormous gifts. I mean, they could really do something. And coaches, we've got coaches. We've seen some amazing athletes come through this church. You know, Deshaun Watson, who's starting with Clemson, and he's a great kid. He comes to church all the time, right here. And there's no doubt he'll go high in the draft in the NFL next year. It's just going to be an amazing career. But what I love about him is he submits to authority. He's been under the authority of this ministry. He's been under the authority of his coaches. And he listens to them. And if a coach says, you don't need to, you stay around, you don't do this, don't do that. You don't go out here and do what you want to do. You stay under the authority. And it's so important. And I see these young people, you know, they have great, but they won't get under the authority of a youth pastor and let a mentor, sometimes is a tormentor. You read your Bible. I noticed you weren't at prayer meeting. I know we had a leadership thing and you didn't show up. Where were you? That's what leadership does, is it brings out and perfects the gifts in you. But if you, I don't need that. I'm going to start my own ministry. I'm a prophet to the nations. But you can't even submit to authority in your local church. Something's wrong with that. Turn to somebody and say, you need to buy an umbrella. Watch this. And stay with me. I know I'm not jumping up and down and stuff, but sometimes you just need to be taught the word of God. So just be taught the word of God. So what's wrong with some of you? You're always cutting down people that are over you, people in leadership, and you wonder why nothing good ever happens to you. You want to sing, something bad is going to happen to me. But I'm telling you, I don't care who it is. If I go in somebody's store, I go in a bathroom in an airport or something, I'm under the authority of that place. I don't just trash that place or whatever. I'm under, it's a principle. I don't go in and do what I want to do and act ugly. I'm under authority. Does that make sense? In 1 Samuel, it talks about Saul and how that he was anointed to be king and God raised him up, but he came out from under the authority that God gave him, and he said, I'm going to become a priest too. And he offered a sacrifice and God never told him to do it. And God got so angry with him that when he offered the sacrifices, he waited for 7 days and nobody showed up. So he said, well, I know what God told me to do. It's very clear. I'm not confused about it. But you know what? I waited on God. Nothing happened. So here I go. And the Bible said he offered sacrifices and it grieved the heart of God, and the kingdom was taken from him, and David was raised up and he was hammered by hell. He was pounded with problems. He was He was drenched with defeat after defeat. He became a psycho, basically. And he begins to get jealous of David, and he chases David. Now, let me show you the contrast. He chases David, and one day he's trying to kill David. He puts him through hell. And King Saul goes into a cave to relieve himself, to use the bathroom. And David is hiding behind a rock, and he sees his enemy walk in, and he's got him with his pants down. And he can kill him. He can slay him. But notice what David says. Watch it. Even when the man was awful to him, he said, I will not touch God's anointed. He is God's anointed. I don't like it. It's not my deal to mess with him. I'm not going to do it. But while he was not looking, David cut a part of his skirt. And when Saul left, he ran out, went across a valley, stood up on a mountain, and waved that piece of cloth. And he said, hey, Saul. And Saul turns around and he says, I could have killed you, but I'm a man set under authority. And I could have done it, but I wouldn't touch God's anointed, because I understand the power of authority. And in order for me to get over what God has put under me, I've got to be under what God has put over me. And Saul began to weep. And the Bible says it this way, and I want you to listen to these words. And when that happened to David, he passed a test in God's eyes. You do not have the right, because you disagree with what's over you, to just trash them, pray for them, and zip it up. And if you need to, I'm not talking about if they're doing something immoral and something, you certainly should report that and all of that and do that. But I'm talking about in general, you just don't like the vision, you don't like the, you don't have that luxury. The Bible says this about David. He passed a test in God's eyes that day. And it says, because he was set under authority, he blew up. He was promoted. The Bible said the house of David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. He got under what God had put over him, and because of it, God raised him up, and then he was put over what God had put under him. That's how God does it. Now, I want to talk in closing about marriage for just a few moments. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. If they can throw that one up. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. Every man, this is your authority, and it's Christ. You are to be under his authority. The head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. Now I want you to see that if I were to bring a couple up here, and I were to say to Danielle, who was just up here with her husband, and she were to take the umbrella, she's a little bit shorter than he is. He's taller than she is. Can you imagine if she carries the umbrella? And he's out here like this, and he's down here like this. But what happens is he carries the umbrella for the couple, because he's taller than she is, and that's the way God set it up. What does that mean? That means that we must understand the authority in a marriage goes like this. The job description for a husband: sacrifice. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. What is the job description for a husband? Sacrifice, 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 sacrifice. Give, give, sacrifice. Lay down your life for her. Love her, honor her. Lay down, sacrifice, sacrifice. If I've got to choose between a hunting trip and her, because something, I'm not talking about just one, I'm talking about
this is a big deal to her. Sacrifice, 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 sacrifice. That is the job description for a husband. What is the job description for a wife? Submit. 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 What do you mean submit? Does that mean that he runs all over me? No, because he submitted to God. He's carrying under the authority of God the mantle for that household. And the job of the husband is to sacrifice. The job of the wife is to submit to his authority. And this goes against everything in our culture. But it really does describe why homes and families are in such dire condition today. If you're dating someone, you better ask yourself, is he an umbrella fella? Is he under the authority of God? Because if he's not under the authority of God, you sure don't want him to be the authority in your life. Well, why do we need that? What do you mean submit to the authority of my husband? Well, anything that has two heads is a freak. And anything that has no head is dead. So somebody has got to be the head. But what happens to a lot of marriages is they turn the umbrella into a sword. And they start fighting one another and attacking one another. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, sacrificially, unselfishly, steadfastly. Three levels of love. There's hot love. That's when the chemistry is flowing and you're tearing each other's clothes off. You just love each other red hot. And then there's warm love. It's when real life sets in and you're so busy with the job and things are going on. You love each other, but you got a lot going on and the hot love cools down a little bit. And then there's the season in every relationship when there's cold love. But cold love is the most important love because even when things aren't happening and it's ooey and gooey all the time, cold love, another way to say it, is covenant love. It means I'm committed to you. And the thing is, if you have cold love, meaning when there's no chemistry going on and not a whole lot of hot stuff going on, it's just kind of living and existing and half the time a little mad at each other. But you have covenant love. Now here's the beautiful thing. If you can be faithful to one another and to God in cold love, you'll get the other temperatures back. They always come back. Hot love will come back and then warm love will come. And then cold love and then hot love. And that's how it goes. Not us. We love it. Okay. Okay. Men chase their careers usually. Women chase kids. They're going in different directions. But what we need to remember, couples, is kids leave, parents stay. The definition of a parent, this is really good. The definition of a parent is training your kids to leave home. I need a bigger clap than that. That's the whole point. Train them to get out. So what happens when we separate and step outside of the authority of marriage and marriage institution, the marriage institution? I want to teach you how to have an affair in four quick steps. How to have an affair. Didn't you get up to come hear that? How to have an affair. Number one, convince yourself it could never happen to you. Not me. I'm so spiritual. Convince yourself it could never happen to you. Number two, cultivate a relationship with a third party. Just talk to them. Text them. Have little, you know, if there's somebody that you have a little chemistry, there's just people that you notice more than others. You need to be careful with those situations and don't cross the lines in your own conscience. As a matter of fact, there ought to be something in you that draws a little bit back from them and kind of, okay, I didn't realize I was preaching to saints in glorified bodies who already have halos. And there's a lot of you who are playing right now. Keep on playing. Convince yourself that you could never have one. Well, what is your problem? I never had one. So I'm qualified to say what I'm saying right now. This is how I have learned to never say that that couldn't happen to me. It could happen to me, and I am to live and put on the whole armor of God and know that the devil is a deceiver and a liar. It could happen to every one of you. It's happening to 50% of the marriages. Cultivate a relationship with a third party. Just start a little something with a third party. It's innocent. It ain't just friends. You don't have no friends like that when you're married. None. Zero. Then start comparing your spouse to them. And then ultimately connect sexually with them. And that's how you have an affair. Sin has its kicks, but it has its kickbacks too. The pathway to a happy marriage. Convince yourself it can happen. Cultivate a relationship with your spouse. Have a date night. Date your mate. Turn to somebody and say, date your mate. Connect with your spouse. You fill in the blanks. Connect with your spouse. Guys, hire a babysitter. She'll go into cardiac arrest and actually plan an evening out. David had an affair in the Bible. It cost him everything. He saw Bathsheba and he lusted after her. He slept with her. She went to Kroger and got a pregnancy test. Called him up on his cell phone. Said, we've got a problem. And he bought a bottle of wine. Called her husband in. A jug of wine. Whatever it is, y'all know. A cooler of wine. And had a little bag of Victoria's Secrets stuff. And he said, Uriah, I want you to go home to your wife. Y'all know this story. And sleep with her. And the Bible said that that man had more convictions drunk than most people have sober. Because he went home, but he slept outside. Because he said, I can't enjoy the joys of marriage when my colleagues are out on the battlefield. And he slept out on the porch. And got up and went back to the battlefield. And of course, David had him killed. You know the story. Point is this. Nathan confronts David. He says, you sinned a great sin. You may think that the affair brings you freedom, but it will only bring you bondage. You may think that an affair is private, but it's a matter of time before it becomes public every time. You may think that it has its kicks, but I promise you it will have its kickbacks. And you're going to pay an awful, awful price. Living a life of lust does not satisfy. Listen to what David said. I love his prayer of confession. He said, against you and you alone have I sinned. He said, even what I did against Uriah and Bathsheba was horrible. But God, when I did that, I got out from under your authority and the authority of your word. And that's why I'm being pelted and drenched with defeat and pain like I've never known. And the sword never departed from his house, the scripture said. When you divorce, here's the point. When you divorce As long as you stay under the authority, the husband and wife, under the authority of God together, the wife submitting to the husband living sacrificially for his wife and family, the family are protected. The family are in the blessing zone. The family are under the shadow of the Almighty. But when you get a divorce, you throw away the umbrella that covers your children. When you have an affair, you just took the umbrella of God's favor and blessing on your family, and there's going to be pain that's going to come to that house. Now, we don't like to talk like this in church, but it's the truth. Ten commandments of marriage, and I close. Ten commandments of marriage. Number one, I shall have no other relationships above my mate. Number two, remember thy date night and keep it holy. Number three, honor anniversaries, birthdays, and special days, that your days may be long upon the earth. Number four, thou shalt not take thy marriage covenant in vain. Number five, thou shalt not ride in the car alone or eat alone with the opposite sex. Number five, thou shalt not travel alone. And when you do, make sure that you have accountability. Thou shalt not counsel women alone in thine office. Thou shalt not share the details of thy marriage with others. Isn't that good? Thou shalt not watch, read, or expose thyself to sexually explicit movies, shows, and websites. Number 10, thou shalt remember the implication of committing adultery. I can't imagine telling my wife, or can you imagine telling your husband, telling your children, telling your church friends, telling people that have known you for years, I have messed up. I have done something so stupid. Can you imagine? What I'm saying to you today is stay under the authority of God's word. I want to close with this. The authority of God's word goes like this, and maybe they've got that thing. Just throw the whole thing up. Study it through. Everybody say, study it through. Next one. Pray it in. Live it out. Pass it on. Everybody say that. Study it through. Pray it in. Live it out and pass it on. If we'll just stay under the authority of God's word, we'll stay under the canopy of blessing, and we'll see God pour down His spirits, His spirit of blessing on our life, and His favor and His grace on our life. But when we begin to come out from under the authority of His word, the enemy will rob and steal and kill every time. And I wonder today, I wonder how many people are listening to me, and the Lord would love to see you bend your knee today to His authority in your life. I'm telling rebellious teenagers that you cannot go against what your parents are raising you in the authority of God's word and prosper and do well. You better stay under that authority that God has put in your life. It's a Bible principle, and you won't ever get over what God has put under you until you get under what God has put over you. Stand to your feet here.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. We hope you are blessed.